That was Nathaniel's song. Nathaniel picked that one, the guy that we just read about in John. That's why we sang it here this morning. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There we go. If we can get that flipped up there. You know, one of the deal breakers that ends all relationships is this: dismissiveness. A total disregard for the other person. It doesn't feel good when that happens to you. And there's a cartoon that illustrates this. You probably can't read the words, so don't squint. I can see you squinting right now. I'll talk you through the different frames of Dilbert here. I don't know if you like Dilbert. I love Dilbert. So an employee comes into Dilbert and says this: "What did you think of the idea that I had?" Dilbert says, "It won't work." The employee responds, "Why not?" Dilbert says, "Well, do you want the long answer, which you won't understand because of your education and your experience? Or do you want the short, dismissive answer? The advantage is it'll go very quick." And the employee thinks for a second, "I guess I'll take the insulting, dismissive answer." And Dilbert says, "Your idea is dumber than snake mittens." And finally, it says at the end, "Well, what do you have against snake mittens?" he says. Boy, have you ever had that feeling of being dismissed by someone else? Doesn't feel very good, does it? It happens for a variety of reasons, mainly because three things that I can think of, mainly because just who we are, the person just doesn't like us, they dismiss us. It can also be because we don't have the pedigree and we're not born on the right side of the tracks that the other person is from and used to. It's for a variety of reasons. It can be because of our background and we're just dismissed. Now, expressing dismissive behavior isn't just with the words that we say by saying, "Oh, that's a dumb idea. It's worse than snake mittens." Here's a far more powerful way to dismiss someone, and I'll bet you do it all the time: rolling your eyes. Turn to someone right now around you and roll your eyes, please. Okay. It looks like you've done this before. Yeah, you've had practice. In our household, we're careful of the words that we say, but we especially talk to our children about how rolling your eyes is actually one of the most harmful things that you can do to another person, dismissing their ideas and who they are. By the way, research out in the secular world actually supports this, that dismissive behavior is a deal breaker for relationships. Marriage counselors in the last 10 years have highlighted this as one of four significant factors for a marriage to dissolve and lead towards divorce. In fact, there are labs that check in on how couples actually roll their eyes at each other. And in these marriage labs, they can predict not only that they'll get divorced, but also when they will get divorced, the year that it will happen. A successful marriage can withstand things like loss, disappointment, and even disagreement. But a marriage that has dismissive behavior, there's very little chance that it can move forward. The same is true for relationships in our families. And when a brother is dismissive of his younger brother, that's a bad idea. That's when family tensions go up. The same is true for countries, by the way. Research shows, there's a book called The Anatomy of Peace that suggests actually every world war that has happened has had a little kernel of dismissive behavior. In other words, a country has said, "We're better and mightier than you. Our land is more important, and the land that you have, we're just going to dismiss that you have it. We're going to take it, what you have, and bring it so that it's ours." Every war has had that little truth in it, dismissive behavior. So this is a toxic thing in our climate and culture. We don't name it all that often, but it is. It's toxic. Research shows it, and when we feel it, it hurts. So here's the thing this morning. You'd think, "Jeremy, well, if it's so toxic, it's never going to occur in the Bible, dismissive behavior." Here you go in John chapter 1. We have it. Jesus invites one of the very first disciples in, Nathanael, and he's dismissive to Jesus. How is that? Well, Nathanael comes, we most likely think Nathanael comes from a high pedigree. You know, those people that are born up on the hill, the special people. He is from Jerusalem, a descendant of Jacob and Israel. And during this time, we can imagine that Nathanael is underneath the fig tree, but he's doing something. I want you to imagine this. The Jews in Jesus' day are struggling. They're in the midst of crisis. They don't know what to do. Here are the questions a Jew is asking at this time. Here they are. Should we look for the Messiah? Where is our future? Has God forgotten us? Does God even care anymore? Nathanael's thinking those existential questions. You know, the deep things inside of us. Nathanael's thinking about that under the fig tree. That's the background here. Philip comes up to Nathanael and says this. Philip says, hey, we found the guy who has all the answers to life's deepest questions. His name is Jesus. Oh, and by the way, he's from where? Did you hear? Nazareth. Now, the Bible doesn't say there are eye rolls. You're never going to find that in the Bible. But you know, when acting and you have a script and you say eye roll at this point, there is an eye roll here. I'm pretty much 100% certain. Nathanael's response to Philip is the biggest eye roll in the Bible. Nazareth? Nothing good comes from Nazareth. Dismissive behavior. No way, Nathanael's saying. Now, before we throw Nathanael under the bus, you and I would do the same thing here if we were in Nathanael's shoes. Why? Nazareth is not mentioned in the Old Testament scriptures. Nathanael's a smarty pants, maybe a little bit snobby, intellectual, perhaps, some authors suggest. Nathanael knows that Nazareth is not mentioned in the Old Testament, and Nazareth is also not mentioned in the Talmud. That was the Jewish kind of devotions in the first century. Nothing about Nazareth here. Here's the worst thing about Nazareth. That's where the country folk live, and they got that little twang, little accent going on. People living up on the hill in Jerusalem, up on the hill, look down on those hicks down from Nazareth. That's what's going on here. I mean, it's kind of like coming across someone from Eugene. Someone's going to email me about that. Nothing good can come from Eugene. Nothing. Yet here we have in this passage, Philip coming up and saying, he's the man. He has the answers to all the deep life questions that you're struggling with, Nathanael. Dear friends, have you ever in life gotten to a point where you've dismissed something and then you've figured out, you know what I dismissed, it was the exact right thing. And that's what I should have done. Maybe you have. A couple of years ago, it happened to me in our house when we moved where we live right now. I lost our keys. It happens frequently. I don't know why. I lost the keys and didn't want to tell Alicia and admit that the keys were lost, the little male pride thing perhaps. So I retraced where I'd gone. The logical places that the keys were, went to the counter, no keys. Went to the cushions in the couch, no keys. Went to the drawer, no keys. And it was about 5 minutes passed by, and then I thought, I'm going to go back and check all those places again. It's got to be in one of those places. The drawer, the couch cushion, the counter. It's got to be there. And after 15 minutes, I finally went to Alicia and said, honey, I've lost the keys. Can you tell me, do you have any ideas on where the keys are? She said, well, have you checked the garbage? Maybe you threw them out when you were taking the garbage out this morning. My first response was, you're crazy. I'm not that klutzy. My second response was, I'm going to go back to the logical places. So I went back to the counter, no keys. Went back to the seat cushions, no keys. Went to the drawer, no keys. Finally, I said to myself, all right, I'll see that place that I dismissed. It can't be there. I'll go check it out. Sure enough, opening up the garbage, ketchup, spaghetti, bags, there were the keys. Wow. You know, that experience, and we all have had that experience when we dismiss something all outright, and then it's actually the exact thing that we should be looking for and where we should be. See, friends, that's the story of Nathanael and Jesus. Nothing good can come from Nazareth. He has the answer. He's the man, Philip says. How do we know that? Well, consider what Jesus says here. This is powerful, and this is the epiphany. We're in the season of epiphany here. What's so powerful about what Jesus says here in John 1? Jesus says this, "The heavens will open up. You'll see greater things than this, Nathanael. The heavens will open up, and you will see the angels ascending and descending down upon the Son of Man." What in the world is Jesus talking about? It's crazy talk. This sounds like a riddle. Jesus knows what he's doing. He's highlighting Genesis chapter 28. You see, in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob falls asleep on the ground and has his head down on a rock, and he has a dream. And in this dream, it's kind of psychedelic, but here's the dream. There's one ladder on earth, Jacob's ladder, that reaches from the earth and goes up to the heavens. And on that ladder, there are angels coming down and angels going up. That's kind of crazy. What is that all about? One location on earth, a ladder bridging the gap. Jesus interprets it for it. No reason to go to a commentator, my friends. Jesus does it here. Jesus says to Nathanael, "I'm the ladder. I'm the ladder. I'm the bridge between God and man. I'm the bridge between heaven and earth." Hey, Nathanael, you know all those questions you're thinking about, your existence, whether the Jews are going to survive if the Messiah is coming? I'm the answer. One of the beautiful things of this text is how Jesus treats Nathanael, who outright dismissed him and said, "You're a bad person from the other side of the tracks." Jesus doesn't dismiss Nathanael. He forgives him. And then you know what Jesus does? He says, "Come, be my disciple." I wouldn't do that. I'd say, "You dummy, you said that I was from Nazareth." Wow, what a heart Jesus has. Friends, there's good news for us here, for us personally. We dismiss Jesus in our lives. And the power that he has for us, that the light that he has can shine into our darkness. Friends, Jesus forgives you for that. Forgives me, forgives you. But here's the thing. He then asks you still to join him in his mission. An activity here on earth. A couple takeaways for us from this topic of dismissiveness in John chapter 1 for us to think about ourselves. As we live our lives, we really need to watch our eye rolls. And we should never be dismissive of another person for their background, where they come from, what they have experienced in life. That's just not being a good Christian. At peace, when we gather together, not that it happens here, but at peace when we gather together and we come together for Bible study, for worship, for time in the fellowship hall, never should we dismiss someone for their ideas. Peace is its healthiest when many, many people give their ideas and input and insight. But a second thing positively to take away is this, is to follow Jesus. We are dismissed for being Christians today. Barna Research says that in the world, Christians are viewed as extremists or fanatics for all sorts of things. 42% of Americans today say that if you go on a mission trip and you set aside your job, you are a fanatic and an extremist. 33% of Americans will say this, that if you fast or do anything of a religious observance, you are an extremist. More and more people are calling Christians that do normal activities that are prescribed in the Bible, are describing them as fanatical and extremist. Let's not fight back by saying, "Oh, you idiot, why would you ever say that about us?" Let's follow Jesus' example and pray for those individuals that they would realize the keys are right in the place that they dismissed, that Jesus is the way, that we invite them and pray for them that they would find Jesus. I came across a Nathanael a couple of months ago. shared this in a sermon in December, but I wanted to share a personal story here. Won't use a name, but I came across a Nathaniel. Whenever I would pray or say anything about religion in general, this person would say, I've read all the books, I know all about it, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to have anything to do with religion. My sister, yes, but not me. And he'd huff and walk out of the room and have none of it. But about a month ago, he began to think about deep questions in life. And he realized that the books and philosophers didn't give good answers. He found Jesus was the best answer, the answer he had walked around and dismissed his whole life. Jesus had an answer for the hope that he could live with in his condition. We live in the midst of a bunch of Nathaniels in our community and in our neighborhoods. Let us not respond with anger, but uplift them in prayer and look forward to that day. Yeah, when you have that epiphany and see the keys in the garbage and say, oh, my goodness, it's true. The last place that I think it'd be, there it is. Every person on earth is going to have that moment with Jesus. The Bible says every knee will bow and tongue confess. Every knee, every person. Let's pray for people that they can see that early on before Jesus comes. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we uplift this discussion between Nathaniel and you that once happened. And Lord, we know that dismissive behavior is rampant in our world. Help us to avoid that, but also help us not to be offended and to look over the offense when it happens to us, and so that we can partner with you and bring people closer to your son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.